Welcome, Advanced listeners, to our newsworthy article this month of July, and we're happy to have you join us here today. Well, I'm also joined by two great panelists, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm really glad to be here, and I love the fact that Amanda is leading us today. She's going to do a great job.
Thanks, Lois.
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's great to be here. I always enjoy being on Advanced, and today we've got a really interesting article, so I'm excited to talk about it with all of you.
We do, don't we? And on day one of this article, we're actually talking about skydiving. So I wanted to ask you both, have you ever skydived before, Lois?
Well, you know, when I saw that we were doing a skydiving article, I always check the dates of our article.
Right.
Date happens to be a July 11th. It happens to be my son's birthday today, and this is exactly what he would do, because he did bungee jumping in Taiwan here before anybody was doing it practically, about 11 years ago.
Wow. Mm.
So I think when he hears his mom on this article going, "Hey, Mark, this is the next thing you need to try," maybe he will, but I won't.
You'll watch
him.
Maybe.
I'll watch him. I'll watch him. But once we tell the audience out there a little bit more about this kind of skydiving, I will join in.
So, okay.
Wow. You're quite a cool mom. I feel like my wife would be going crazy. You did what?
Right. Yeah. Well, have you ever been skydiving, Campbell?
I haven't, but it is something that's on my bucket list, which means it's something that I want to do before I leave this earth. So, yeah, definitely would love to try skydiving one day.
But Campbell doesn't want to leave this earth doing skydiving.
Well, you know, if God wants to take me back, that's cool.
Oh, well, I don't think we recommend that to you today. But it is an interesting article, so... why don't we get straight into it today? Listeners, we'll get you to turn to page 20 of your Advanced magazine and begin today's reading on column 1 on line 20.
Watch people fly at Kansas City's new indoor skydiving facility. Kansas Cityans can now skydive without ever getting in an airplane. iFly Kansas City, an indoor skydiving chain founded in 1998 in Orlando, Florida, now has a history of more than 7 million flyers. It says anyone from ages 3 to 103 can feel the rush of free-fall skydiving without the risk of jumping out of an airplane. Its customers can include families, corporations hosting team-building events, skydivers who want to improve their skills, and military service members learning to skydive. Customers have a brief training session in a classroom, then they are outfitted with a jumpsuit, a helmet, goggles, and earplugs before entering a wind tunnel with their certified instructor.
All right, so we are on page 20 of our Advanced magazine, and we start off our article with an interesting phrase, Kansas Cityan. Now, a Kansas Cityan, and that is one of our specialized terms, a Kansas Cityan is a resident of Kansas City, Missouri. So what we often do is we will add suffixes to the end of cities to talk about residents or people who live in that city. For example, I am a New Yorker, so I grew up in New York, so I am a New Yorker, right? Or my wife is from California, so right. She's a Californian, right? Things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, in New Zealand, we have Wellingtonian if you're from Wellington, or an Aucklander if you're from Auckland.
Right. For me, it's being from Toronto, it's a Torontonian.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I am originally.
I thought this was a great noun because I've never heard of this before, but it's only associated with the Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City. Yeah. And what's interesting is actually Kansas City is in Missouri.
Yes.
So it's not. Well, there actually is Kansas City, Kansas.
Right.
But right now we're talking about Kansas City, Missouri.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
See, not only do we teach English, but also geography.
That's right.
Well, that's always a good thing.
It is, isn't it? And this is interesting because now they can skydive without ever getting in an airplane. Well, how do you feel about that, Lois?
Well, as our listeners know, my husband is a pilot, and I would say this is probably a good idea, mm-hmm. not so much for people who are in the business of, you know, getting people up in the air. They are pilots who get them up in the sky. But this is making it available to many more people.
Right. It sounds a lot safer.
Yes, it
right?
does.
And in a better, in a more controlled environment.
Right. And I was kind of sharing before we came on air today, folks, about the fact that my husband tries to push people to have a flying lesson first. Spend the money on a flying lesson before you spend the money on skydiving. Mm. Just to really give you an introduction and maybe possibly see if maybe you want to be a pilot.
Mm. And that's a good thing to think about. I think also here we are introduced to the business iFly, which is in Kansas City, and they're an indoor skydiving chain founded in 1998 in Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catchy name, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
iFly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So many things with I on the front of it.
Right. Body. And I thought it was great that it was in Orlando, Florida. This is more like a fun amusement for maybe adults more or starting at teenage age. Mm-hmm. And you know that a lot of people are already in Florida to go to Disney World and right. Epcot, and this is just something else in that area.
Right. When we talk about a chain, we're talking about a series of stores. So stores that are under the same umbrella organization, for example, McDonald's or 7-Eleven, they're chain stores, right? So they have the same brand, but they're in different locations.
Good, yeah. And also here we use the word founded, which means it's starting or beginning. So it started in 1998. Now, iFly, just for further information, they have 49 branches all over the world now. So 1998, they've come a long way
wow.
since then.
18 years.
Yeah, and they're not only in the U.S., but they're also in places like Australia, Brazil, China, United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. France, New right. Zealand, Singapore, and Canada.
Mm, wow.
Very good.
And even on the ocean, right?
That's right. Yes. Actually, Campbell, did we talk about iFly before?
I think we did. We talked about a cruise ship, the Royal Caribbean cruise ship, Quantum of the Seas, and I believe they actually have an iFly facility right on that ship.
Wow.
Wow,
that's pretty amazing. Well, we learned that iFly Kansas City now has a history of more than 7 million flyers. So imagine all those 49 branches together, how many flyers they would have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how old do you need to be?
Well, it's interesting here because it says anyone from ages 3 to 103 can feel the rush of free fall skydiving without the risk of jumping out of an airplane.
What does it mean when we say feel the rush?
Well, when you do something like skydiving, you just feel this excitement and this exhilaration of doing something dangerous. And I mean, the free fall, that sensation of just falling through air with nothing holding you up.
I always think your adrenaline's really going,
yeah,
right? It's
yeah.
really pumping.
It's like this combination of fear and excitement.
Right. And this is great because in a normal skydive, or free fall skydive, you are falling.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's doing that without the risk of actually jumping out of the airplane.
Right.
So we go on to learn that they have many different kinds of customers. What kind of customers do they have, Lois?
Well, it says it can include families, corporations hosting team building events. I didn't realize this, that skydivers who want to improve their skills, you'd also just have individuals going who just want a thrill or really have tried it once and really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it's interesting that skydivers would do that. Perhaps it's easier to use this facility rather than always, you know, taking the plane to go up into the air and, mm-hmm. and the gas price.
Yes, it would. Aviation fuel is never cheap.
Right.
And then you have to also hire the pilot.
Right.
So
right.
that's expensive, too. And this would be much more economical.
Right. And, I mean, when you're doing outdoor skydiving, the real type of skydiving, you have to account for different environmental factors, mm-hmm. right? The wind might change or it might start raining, different things mm-hmm. like that. So this would be a good place to train. You can train there and it'd be a safer environment.
Right. And it's interesting to see in this last little bit of the sentence, and also military service members are learning to skydive in mm-hmm. these facilities.
Right. So these people, in English we call them paratroopers. So they are people who jump out of planes and they usually have parachutes. they land in different areas, you know. And actually our audio engineer, the guy who's in charge of recording us and making us sound really nice, his son was actually a paratrooper in the military here.
Right. And that's quite intense training because they're learning to drop from the aircraft mm-hmm. at different heights. So this sounds like a great opportunity also to not have that risk
exactly.
involved. Well, we learn about customers and what they do. They have a brief training session in the classroom, and then they're outfitted with what, Lois?
Well, it says they're outfitted with a jumpsuit. So they actually will look then like a true skydiver that we think of outside doing this, but they will not put on a parachute. They'll have a helmet on, goggles, and earplugs before entering a wind tunnel. With their certified instructor. And you would definitely have to be wearing all the equipment they say there, because wind tunnels, if you've ever seen them in a movie or in real life, they really are truly that, a wind tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you would also quite damage your hearing possibly.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Right, that's not good. Well, we're already learning a lot about what iFly do with their indoor skydiving, but let's continue on with our next reading.
First-time iFly customers will float on a column of air and learn basic flying skills, including moving forward and back and turning. On additional visits, customers can progress to group flying and even advanced aerial gymnastic maneuvers. Adam Greer of Shawnee, Missouri, skydives on a regular basis and has visited iFly to practice moves that are harder to try when he is plummeting to Earth during an actual skydive. But he said it is also a way for people who have never skydived to have the experience without the risk. The company said it utilizes U.S. and international patents to create the skydiving experience. 4 high-efficiency axial fans are mounted at the top of the building to channel air through a 14-foot-wide circular glass flight chamber. The column of air extends fully from one wall of the glass flight chamber to the other and supports flyers as they float, spin, turn, and move.
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, you'll be learning that we are talking about how to go skydiving without the risk of falling out of an airplane. Perhaps you don't like heights, that's something you're not really comfortable with, then maybe an indoor skydiving facility like this one in Kansas City called iFly is something you can consider. They have 49 branches around the world, and there's different ways you can go about doing it. Maybe you want to do it with your family or with your business. And we're going to learn a little bit more about how first-time iFly customers deal with this kind of skydiving. How do they do this, Lois?
Well, it says that the customers will float on a column of air, and they have to learn basic flying skills, including moving forward and back and turning.
Well, that's very interesting. They float on a column of air. Right, and I think we get to see that in a couple of the pictures here, don't we, Campbell?
That's right. So if we look at the pictures on page 20, we see these two people that just seem to be floating in the middle of the air. And the way they're supported is through this airstream that is coming up. And so we learn a little bit more about the basic skills that we were talking about earlier. So these include moving forward and back and turning.
And I think just for a little bit of additional information, that training also consists of how to have your body in a proper position for flying, so you don't feel like you're out of control, upside down and turning around, and also how to give hand signals to the coaches or the instructors there. Kind of reminds me a little bit of diving.
Yeah, I think it can remind you of like free diving or scuba diving.
Right.
And I think it must be incredible to realize one minute I'm standing in this cylinder almost, right? This glass cylinder. Now they turn on this column of air, and now I'm going to be able to make all these maneuvers.
Right. There's no gravity.
Right. Yeah. I just think about how for hundreds and hundreds of years, I think since the beginning of time, maybe humans have always been fascinated with this idea of flying, right? And so this is a way for them to experience that with less of the risk.
Right. Well, on additional visits, we also learned that customers can progress to group flying. What does it mean when we progress to something?
Well, basically, we're getting to go to the next stage, right? We're moving forward.
Right.
And here, as you said, it's now group flying. So, you know, when we think of actual skydiving, we're always fascinated by those pictures or films where you see it's a group skydive and everybody's kind of holding hands and making a star, and I'm thinking, wow, is this big enough that they get to try that?
And I mean, it would make sense why they would need, you know, to progress to that, because in such a small space, if you don't have the control, if you don't know what you're doing, and you have that many people in there, you can easily get hurt. So once you master the basics, then you can progress to that group
right.
level.
Yeah. I'm thinking if you have more than one person in there, you know, you could kick each other accidentally or hit each other.
Lose your teeth.
Oh, dear. You need that equipment on purpose.
That's right.
Well, once you've also done group flying, you can even advance to what, Campbell?
Aerial gymnastic maneuvers, right? So when we talk about gymnastics, we're talking about flips and turns and things like that. And aerial, this word just means in the air.
In the air.
Right. So you're doing flips and turns in the air.
Right. And maneuver is such a great word. It's in our vocabulary focus, which says a movement or set of movements needing skill and care.
Right.
So you are, you know, sometimes we also think about that when we see maybe people doing equestrian horseback riding, right? And they're maneuvering around all that equipment on the field. And we go, wow, how can they do that? They're on a horse, right?
Or like you were talking about earlier, Lois, about taking flight, flying lessons. You have to learn to maneuver a plane.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it needs skill and care. Yes. And now we're introduced to a young man. His name is Adam Greer. He is from Shawnee, Missouri. And he likes to skydive. He skydives on a regular basis, which means often, and has visited iFly to practice moves that are harder to try when he is plummeting to Earth during an actual skydive. What do we mean, Lois, when we say plummeting?
Well, I'm thinking a free fall is happening here. A fall very quickly and suddenly, and we will often hear it called a free fall when somebody's plummeting to Earth.
Right.
So it means they're going quickly to hit the ground.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, it makes sense because when you're actually doing a skydive, you're falling pretty quickly. So it's hard for you to kind of perfect your maneuver. Because when you're perfecting something, you have to do it again and again and again. And it's kind of hard to do that in a real skydive because every time you fall, then you have to get back in the plane, and then it takes another half an hour for you to get up into the air. So with something like this, you can try it, and then they turn off the air, and then maybe you can try it again.
Right.
It's not as much time in between.
Right. It's time consuming going up into the airplane, and you run out of room or space or height, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, he goes on to say that it is also a way for people who have never skydived to have the experience without the risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about that earlier, you know, people that may be afraid of height.
Right.
You often hear of stories, people get up into the plane with a skydive, and then they don't want to leave the plane.
Right.
They don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Once that door comes off, and they're, like, just looking out and going, yeah, I think I'm supposed to stay inside this airplane, not jump out of it.
Yeah. I mean, and again, this is the whole idea of a controlled environment, because when you jump out of a plane, there's the wind, there's the rain, you know, also anything could happen with that parachute. It might not open. There's just a lot of factors involved.
Right. Now, talking about factors, in the indoor skydiving facility, we are using technology to create the wind for people to fly in. iFly, the company, said it utilizes U.S. and international patents to create the skydiving experience. What are we doing when we're utilizing something, Lois?
Well, we're using it. It's going to get used. That would be the root word, too.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And a patent or patent is a legal right to use something.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are they using? We learn in the next sentence, Ken.
Well, they use 4 high-efficiency axial fans that are mounted at the top of the building to channel air through a 14-foot-wide circular glass flight chamber.
Wow, that's quite the explanation, isn't it, for these axial fans. When we say something is high efficiency, what do we mean?
Well, it's very effective at what it does.
Right.
And so it's not... One thing we often think about is, if you're in a cold climate, a high-efficiency furnace. It does what it needs to do very well and doesn't cost as much.
Yeah, and usually very quickly as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, these are not the fans that we use at home, right, to create an airflow in our home. These, as you can see in our specialized terms, these axial fans are generating wind that multiplies the pressure of the airflow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to counter gravity. Right, to be able to keep the person, your
right.
body, up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that they're mounted at the top of the building to channel air. When we say we're channeling something, what do we mean?
We're making the flow go a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're manipulating the flow.
Right, good, yes. And it's through a 14-foot-wide circular glass flight chamber. Now, I know at the beginning of the program, we talked about the fact that, wow, this is made of glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
And it seems kind of precarious,
yeah.
maybe a little dangerous.
Well, I actually thought it was made of, you know, just really high technology plexiglass. Because I don't know if you've seen some of that recently, but you can be fooled and think it's glass. So that's what I thought it was at first.
So plexiglass is actually plastic?
Well, plexiglass... It is plastic. It has it can move, so it doesn't look to be anything like what they're showing here or what they're describing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, this also helps the other students see what's happening and perhaps get them ready for their flight as well. We go on to learn the column of air extends fully from one wall of the glass flight chamber to the other. So you won't accidentally fly to the side and fall down.
Right.
The air will keep you up during the flight and supports flyers as they float, spin, turn, and move. Well, after hearing this article, how do you feel, Lois? Is this something you would do?
I would do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds like a lot of fun, and I think it's like an adventure, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've perfected it so it will be safe. You know, I think when I was first reading this article, I was thinking, well, what if you get over on this side or this side? You just fall all of a sudden,
right.
you know. But obviously with their explanation to us, it has perfected to keep you up in the air the whole time.
Yeah.
What about you, Campbell?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm always up for trying adventurous things. So I would definitely love to try this. I'm always amazed to think what made someone think of this idea. You know, like how did they come up with this idea to create a glass cylinder and pump air into it so that someone would... I mean, that takes a business mind and a scientific mind
right.
and a love for, you know, extreme sports.
Right. and just to think it up that it might sell,
right? That, hey, someone might enjoy doing this inside a glass tube.
Right. Well, a class itself actually lasts about an hour and a half in length from the time you get in there to learning how to fly, to actually doing your flight. And so they say that that is the equivalent of 1.5 skydives.
Wow.
So you're getting that just a little bit more than you would if you were jumping out of a plane.
Oh, wow.
So perhaps just the efficiency and the accessibility of an iFly or doing this kind of flight would be more attractive.
Oh, and I'm thinking, get ready to get hooked. So that might take a little money out of your wallet.
Right, come back for more, and maybe you too can upgrade to group flying or even some advanced aerial gymnastic maneuvers.
Mm.
Well, there are a lot of different words in this article that we've learned today. Lois, is there any particular vocabulary word that stands out to you?
I always like the word maneuver. I don't think we use it a lot enough. I think we just say, you know, go this way, go that way, become very casual. Right. And this is a great word to keep in your English vocabulary.
Right.
That's good. We use it with driving, too, don't we?
Right. We certainly do.
Driving
and or your bicycle or scooter, whatever the case may be.
Mm. Yeah, and the word maneuver can be a noun or a verb. You can maneuver something or you can do maneuvers.
Right. That's really, really good. Well, hopefully, listeners, you have enjoyed today's article as well, and perhaps it's made you more interested in risking a little bit of adventure. Now, if you've experienced this kind of adventure before, we encourage you to share your adventures with us through email, or you can check for our email at studioclassroom.com. There are a lot of different ways to get hold of us through Facebook. We have a Facebook page as well. But hopefully, listeners, you'll join us next time here on Advanced Radio. For now, this is Amanda,
Lois,
and Campbell
saying goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.